So we have been in a series for the summer called Learning to Be a Disciple, Learning to Walk with Jesus. And we've been talking a lot about all sorts of different things that we as believers can do in order to connect with Jesus on a kind of a grander scale or in a more intimate way. Things that that help us learn what it means to listen to his voice and to be able then to obey and do what he asks of us. And this week at camp, we were able to focus in on some of those themes as well. The theme of the week was living water. And so most everything that we did had something to do with water. Bob had a character he put on every night called Bob Gnarly. And give him a hand, yeah. And he would get up and still a totally true... Totally what? Totally true. Totally, yeah. Yeah, true story. And so anyway, he did that every night. I can't do it. But it was a lot of fun. And having the water theme was a lot of fun. But what I want to do now is sort of tie in for you guys. We have morning sessions. We have evening sessions. So there's no way I can do it all unless you want to be here till about 4. But what I can do, hopefully, is sort of give you a snapshot of what the teachings were that we picked up on this week. It started with Isaiah 12:3. And Isaiah 12:3 is a really interesting verse. It says this. It says, "With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation. With joy you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation." And it's a little short section in the book of Isaiah that is really sort of what they call a song of ascent. And for the Jewish people, what they would do is they would sing these songs as they went up to the temple, up to Jerusalem. And this song was reserved for a very special time in the nation's annual history. They would gather for a week-long feast, and every day they would go down to the Pool of Siloam, which was the main water source for the city of Jerusalem. The priests would lead a procession down there. They would gather water. And they would sing this song on their way back up to the temple. They would walk around the altar with the water. They would this may not sound like what takes place in a Jewish temple to you, but they would party all night long, basically, because this was supposed to be a celebration. They were not supposed to be unhappy. They were always supposed to be happy at this celebration. They were supposed to be letting God know how grateful they were for everything that he provided for them. And so it was really a big celebration. And then in the morning, they would pour the water out as a libation, a drink offering to God. And they would go back down to the Pool of Siloam and get another one for the next day. Okay. And this went on until the seventh day. And on the seventh day, they would go down and they would get that water. They would sing this song again, march up to the top. And when they got there, they would march around the altar 7 times, wait till the next morning and pour out the water as a final offering to God. But all of this was joyous. They were drinking deeply from the fountains of salvation. Then we looked at another verse in Jeremiah, and it said this. It said, "For my people have done 2 evil things. Number one, they have abandoned me, the fountain of living water." Now imagine this. On the one hand, they're singing praises to God, that he is their fountain of salvation, that he's the one who brings them deliverance, that he's the one who can give them life. Everything they need is in God. And what does God say here? He says, "I have this against you. You did an evil thing. You walked away from me. I'm the fountain of living water. I'm the source from which you can get life and never, ever have to worry about anything. And yet, instead of relying on me, you walk away. And you try to take care of yourself." He says, "They dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water." Now, you guys know what a cistern is, right? It's a brethren's sister, right? No. What it is is a big hole in the ground. Sometimes they would hew it out of rock in the side of a mountain, or it's like a big cave, and they would run rainwater to it. And basically, they would try to hold water in this big vat in order to have water to drink. And God's saying, "Look, here I am, willing to give you everything you need, and instead you're going out and digging a hole in the ground, hoping that you'll get a little bit of rain in there. And even the hole that you dug is cracked, it's not sealed, and the water seeps out. So you're taking care of yourself. You're doing your own thing, and you've got nothing. He says, I'm the fountain of life. Lee Wadsworth had a little shtick he did the whole week with a hose and a bucket. And the bucket had a bunch of holes in it, right? And so he would hold that bucket up and say, so Mr. Bucket over here, if you fill him up with water, he's going to leak all over the place. That's like the cracked cistern. Okay? And so, you know, you can try to keep filling it up. You can try to have what you need, but in the end, it just doesn't work. On the other hand, if you take a hose and you hook that hose up to a faucet, in this particular context, you hook that up to God, and what you have is an eternal, all the time source of living water, water that brings you life. So, so where we picked it up then was in John chapter 7. And what happens in John chapter 7 is interesting. It's at this feast, this time when they are getting the water from the Pool of Siloam, and they are celebrating the goodness of God. And so people are coming down, you know, with the priests and kind of the whole big procession, and they're coming down to get the water. And on the seventh day, the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, when there's supposed to be the biggest celebration of all, Jesus stands there and he says this. On that day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who is thirsty, come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart, flow from his inmost being. So Jesus is standing there while they're getting this water, you know, the celebrated water from the Pool of Siloam, the fountain that has for thousands of years provided water to the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus stands there and says, no, you want water? Water that that you'll never have to worry about running out of? Then you need to come to me. And if you believe in me, I will give you that water. Not only will I give it to you, but I will give it to you in such a way that it will flow out of who you are. So wherever you go, not only will you have enough for you, but you'll be able to spread that water around to others. Pretty cool, huh? He goes on to say this. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. So he's not talking about actual water. There's another story where he meets a woman at a well in Samaria. And he tells that woman the same thing, that if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you a drink and I'd give you water and you'd never be thirsty again. And she's like, well, then give me the water. You know, and she discovers that Jesus is the Messiah. And she goes and tells everybody in the village to come out and to meet him. And Jesus stays there for 2 days. I think connecting with them, you know, letting them know that even though they weren't Jews, hated often by Jews, that their Messiah had come. But he says that this water he's talking about is the Spirit of God. Our God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He exists three in one. Something that as human beings we really can understand. I won't even try to explain it. But God is three persons in one being. The Holy Spirit is God. The Son is God, who also left heaven and became a man in the person we call Jesus. So he's both God and man at the same time. So he makes the perfect bridge for us between God and humanity. And then there's the Father. And so when we think here of the Spirit, and he's talking about giving us the Spirit, giving it to everybody who believes, anybody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus gets the Holy Spirit. That means God, the creator of the universe, comes and lives inside of us. It's amazing. But that the source of life, God's the source of life. He created everything that there is. There is no life apart from God. And God is saying, if you want life, believe in Jesus and I will put my life in you. I will give you that source of living water that you can splash around to everybody you meet. It's an awesome, awesome truth. So he gives us, the Spirit gives us gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. I like to think about it like this. You know, sometimes we talk about Christians, all the Christians in the world together, being the body of Christ. Jesus is the head and we are his body. You know, he directs us and we do the things he wants us to do. When we're responsive to the head, the body accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish in the world. So the Holy Spirit is a part of that process. And what he does is he gives gifts to everybody who believes in Jesus. He gives us special abilities, special understanding, special insight, special knowledge. But stuff that's specific and peculiar to you. Right, so we talked to the kids a lot this week, right, guys? About how special they are and about how God has made them in a very unique way and about how God wants to use what he has put inside of them to touch and to shape the world. He goes on to say a few verses later that it's the one and only Spirit. He distributes all of these gifts. And he alone decides which one each person should have. We don't get to choose. God chooses for us. Which is awesome because God knows everything and he's everywhere all at the same time. He's everywhere and he's every time. So God knows exactly what you're going to need in order for you to accomplish the things that he has for you to accomplish. And so he gives you the gifts and he puts you in the place where you need to be to do the things that he wants you to do. Now we told the kids, and I think this is true for us adults too, everybody wants to be a superhero, right? We all kind of have that little thing inside that says, boy, I wish I could just have some special power so I could go out and do good with it, right? I think God put that in us. I really do. I think that it's part of the human condition that we want to be significant, that we want to accomplish something valuable in the world. And hopefully that thing that we want to accomplish is about doing good for others. That's all the superheroes are, right? Unless you're a villain. You know, you could be a supervillain, but if you're a superhero, you're about doing good. You're about standing up against evil. You're about helping people when they need help. And so if you think about it, you believe in Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you, I think, gifts, not just a gift, but I think the Holy Spirit gives you whatever you need, whenever you need it, so you can do whatever he asks you to do. And so the Holy Spirit empowers you to do these things. And then he tells us this. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus so that we can do those good things that he planned long ago for us to do. I love this verse because it says to me, Phil, you're special. I have a job for you, Phil. You don't know exactly what it is. And every day you get up and it's going to be a new adventure. You're going to find out what it is I have for you to do. I'm going to give you what you need in order to do it. And then I'm going to lay that opportunity in front of you and you're going to step up and be able to do it. And when you do, I'll work through you to increase the amount of good that's in the world. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 95 years old. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is in you and God has good works for you to do. So the kids came home this week, I think, believing this, looking for those things that God has for them to do. So ask them about that, parents. Ask them about what God's been stirring up in their heart. One of the things that that Bob talked to us about that was really neat was he took a glass of milk and he poured chocolate in the milk. And you know what happens, right? The chocolate settles to the bottom. That's like the Holy Spirit being given to us. We're the milk. God puts the Holy Spirit into us, but he just sometimes kind of sits there. And the part we play in that is that we get the opportunity to sort of stir the Spirit up. And we stir the Spirit up by saying to God, I want to be used. Lord, here I am. Use me. Get up every day, we told the kids. Get up every day and just invite God into your life again. Not that he ever left you. But invite him in again and ask him to show you those good works that he has for you to do. And he will. And you'll get the opportunity then and the blessing of being able to see God work through you to accomplish good in this world. Awesome, awesome truth. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we are grateful. Grateful, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Dying for us on the cross, rising from the dead so that we can be certain that that sacrifice that you made was accepted on our behalf. Then showing us, God, the reality of life, that you are the fountain of salvation and that we need to come to you, not relying on ourselves, but simply, Lord, relying on you. Lord, make us thirsty. Make us thirsty for that living water that you've promised to us and that you've given to all who believe. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.